Hello, chat. Welcome back to the Saint is Seen as a podcast. You'll notice that one of these people is not Carson.
I was Carson.
You were Carson, and now
I crawled into a McDonald's play place. I'm now entirely different white guy now.
Yeah, we have an entirely different white guy on the show right now. I'm Dawson, one of your hosts, he, him pronouns. Carson was killed and set on fire. So he is not here right now. But in his stead, we have
Jack in the band Hospitality from Kennesaw, Georgia.
Yippee!
Jack Morris is here. For those who know, Kennesaw Scrams legend. For those who don't know,
Bart Cup.
For those who don't know, Bart Cup, Screamo legend. And it's going to be a little bit of a different episode today because it would feel weird doing a normal episode without Carson. So what we're doing today is Jack has never heard Folie à Deux.
Not at all. I thought that Folie à Deux was under the cork tree.
Yeah, so we're in for a treat.
I was convinced
today.
I was looking at the track listing right before we started filming, and I thought that they did a title fight cover.
Nope, they did not do a title fight cover. Although that would be cool.
It would. My Fall Out Boy listening experience, I have the entirety of the album with the sheep on it saved to my iTunes library. I've only heard Thanks for the Memories.
That's it.
Oh, and This Ain't a Scene. It's a goddamn arms race.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good song.
And I've heard like all their radio hits.
Mm-hmm. Well, who hasn't?
Yeah. But, like, generally, I don't know if I'll like Fall Out Boy because they don't sound like the music I like typically.
Yeah. This will be an interesting episode because I really don't know if you'll like this album either. But you wanted to be on this podcast so bad.
I thought it'd be really fun.
Yeah.
It's a rare opportunity to find someone in emo circles who just utterly does not give a fuck about Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
And is willing to take their shirt off for $20.
That's true. Both of those things are true. But, you know, maybe you'll come out of this episode either loving or hating Fall Out Boy. I hope loving, because I think this is a fantastic record.
I could also just be painfully indifferent, though.
That's also true, yeah. But today's episode, Jack is going to listen to Folie à Deux for the first time, and then we're going to talk about it. So we'll see you in like 40 minutes our time, and in your time, it's going to be like 2 seconds.
Bye!
Bye!
Welcome back. We're back, team. We just listened to Folie all the way through. Jack, what did you expect going in?
Oh, wait. I did not think I would like it at all. I honestly expected to leave that and have a bunch of notes about how much I hated it.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, I was just like, this is going to be garbage.
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling that, like, that would be your expectation, because you are not a pop punk guy, like, at all.
No, I think I like one kind of pop punk album.
Which one?
It's Summer Violence by Place Called Home.
I've not heard it.
It's closer to being post-hardcore.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I like some Midwest emo, obviously.
Yeah, well, this is not Midwest
emo. I like Arcadia Gray. Are they pop punk?
Yeah, kind of.
That band's really nostalgic for me.
Yeah. We just played with them.
I know. I came, saw y'all set, and then left.
That's awesome.
Because I was preoccupied with other things.
Yeah.
And if I'm at my job off the clock too long, I have to get shit hammered or I get stressed out.
That's so real. But now
you
that
don't
you
drink,
listen
that's
to
that's not real for you. Don't lie.
I'm just saying that's so real in general. Like,
yeah.
You know, that's generally probably a real thing.
It is.
Yeah. But let's go through your thoughts on the record. I'm obviously not going to say too many of my thoughts other than, like, this is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yeah.
Like, this is in my top 20. Mm-hmm. I think this is a phenomenal record, and I think Carson would say all of those same things. Apart from me just going like, yes, I like this song, I'm going to keep mine to a minimum so that we can preserve the those for their episodes. But as for you, you're free reign. You can say whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, hell yeah. So I did write notes on every single song on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like a lot of my thoughts are very fleeting, and I didn't want to just go, I don't remember how I felt the entire time. But for the first one, I really was not a big fan. It felt really kind of arena rocky. I do like his voice. His voice is, like, super impressive, even if it's not something I would want to listen to.
Yeah.
On a regular basis. It wasn't terrible, just wasn't for me. It feels like if pop punk worship music.
Yeah.
For that first one, we were like talking about that while I was taking notes. Like, my big closing thought on it was if church was gay and pop punk. But like gay in the same way that like that video top five gayest breakdowns call something gay.
Yeah. 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 Disloyal Order they've started like opening shows with that recently.
That's a shame.
I mean, I feel like it's a good opener as far as their discography goes.
That's fair.
It's pretty big, but I can definitely see where you're coming from with that, especially as a screamo head.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
So
my top bands this year were like, were like Orchid, Sex Prisoner, and Discordance Axis.
Oh man,
this is so out of my wheelhouse. I forgot music could be like. Not like
yeah. I remember like some point midway through us listening to this, you said that after Disloyal Order you were thinking to yourself you were gonna hate this thing.
Yeah, I really didn't expect it to be like anything.
The cable's not going like, anywhere. You don't
no, I know,
to.
It's just trapped and I wanted to wrap my hand around it.
Oh, okay.
out of nervous habit.
Yeah. Just make sure to talk into the mic when you're about to say something.
That was kind of my thoughts. So my thoughts were, this sounds like for the second one, I don't care.
Yeah.
Then that's the song. I did care at least a little bit, or I wouldn't have written my thoughts down. But
so true.
I thought that this sounded like car commercial music.
And, well, it's really funny that you say that because like, it makes me wonder what car commercials you've been seeing. Because, like, to me, car commercial music is like Imagine Dragons and stuff like that, where it's like...
Well, my thoughts on the first one were that it was rock and roll Imagine Dragons as well.
Yeah. Imagine Dragons if they rocked and rolled.
Yeah, but then I realized I actually knew this one. The lyrics were kind of sick. I did like the lyrics, but I really hated that halftime part.
Really?
I hated that part so much that I wrote down the halftime part was bad.
Damn.
That was one of the worst halftime parts I've ever heard.
Usually a good halftime part is like a sure thing, I'd say.
Yeah, it's a shame that one wasn't.
Damn. I think we've done an episode on this song. I think we've done an episode on both of those first two songs. Yeah, that one was the only hit off of this record, and even then it was like a minor hit. I guess now is as a good time as any to kind of get into the lore of this record. So like, this record came out a year after Infinity on High, which is the one that you have saved.
Yes. I paid like $15 for the deluxe edition.
Awesome.
I did not listen to it.
That one was their biggest album until 2015 when American Beauty, American Psycho came out, and that one has Centuries on it. Which is a terrible fucking song.
Awful song.
But it is still their biggest song.
I can still remember that song though. And that's a testament to how catchy it is.
I think it has like a 1.5 billion streams on Spotify right now. So it's fucked up. But
1.5 billion of anything is a lot.
Yeah. But this record came out a year after their biggest record ever, and in the time that it came out, it was not loved at all. It undersold. It was seen as like a huge disappointment critically, and it effectively broke up the band for like fucking for 5 years. Like really? They went on hiatus after this album came out.
Okay, because I remember like obviously internet era growing up, looking at like Tumblr posts on Instagram at like young.
Yeah.
I remember people talking about the Fall Out Boy hiatus.
Mm-hmm. So that
and not really grasping what that meant.
Yeah, after this record, they went on hiatus, and another record of theirs didn't come out until 2013.
What record?
Save Rock and Roll, which is my least favorite of theirs. but yeah, this album, like, it was seen as the black sheep in their discography for fucking ever until, like, very recently, like a couple years ago.
Okay.
Is when the reevaluation really started. And this record, they kind of approached it with the mindset of, let's just fucking do whatever. Like, just do anything we want. Like, fucking have this grand organ intro to the album. Get fucking Lil Wayne on here.
I thought the Lil Wayne feature was really awesome.
Yeah.
That was, whenever we get to that track, I'll talk more about it, I think.
Yeah.
I think that grand organ piano intro sucked shit. Oh my God, whoever's choice that was should have been shot and killed.
But they're,
Jesus fucking Christ.
They kind of, it was, let's do whatever we want because we can. And, they kind of treated this album. They kind of considered this album as like the culmination of the sound that they've been working towards throughout their whole discography.
Okay.
And I think if you go, like, I don't think that you will, but if you were to go back and listen to their albums before this, you would see that. Because, like, the first record is very straightforward pop punk. The second one that kind of gets into more, like grander territory. The third one they really start experimenting, and then this one is kind of bringing everything together.
Mm-hmm.
So like the band, like the reception to this record was so bad on release that the band did not play songs from it except for I Don't Care for years. Like,
oh, it's like Pinkerton by Weezer
pretty much. Yeah, this is their Pinkerton. Like, an amazing album that was initially fucking hated. But yeah. Fall Out Boy eventually came around to this album, unlike Weezer with Pinkerton. Because to my understanding, they still, like, Rivers still doesn't like that album.
I want to bite Rivers Cuomo.
I do too.
Not in a sexual way.
That man is a strange creature for sure.
He really is. I do not. Like, I feel like he's a guy I would not want to have a beer with. And no. Tom York is a guy I would never have a fucking beer with.
No, especially lately.
I want to bare knuckle box Tom York.
Yeah.
Tom York, if you are watching this, fly me out to England. We can fight. Fuck you, pussy.
But I think that's all the relevant context so far, and I'll sprinkle in a couple other details as we go. But yeah, the next track, She's My Winona. Or Winona, maybe in ref. I don't remember if that's in reference to Winona Ryder or not.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
You know, one of the dudes from Helmet dated Winona Ryder.
I'm not familiar with Helmet.
Alt metal outfit. I'm not super into them. I just know the name.
Helmet.
Or like that. There's some artist I did some work for in my internship that had a song with that was a reference to Winona Ryder as well.
Hmm.
But I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it.
Oopie.
Woo! Okay, so for the third one, this is one of my favorites on this record.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how dance punky it was. This was like definitely a high point and something that I know I'll come back to.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot to really say about it because I did just like enjoy it, and it's hard for me to articulate positive thoughts on things.
Yeah.
Because it was like this is good, not like, you know, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. But also, I am not the target audience for this, and I think you and I are both aware of it, and that's kind of the point of this episode.
Yeah. I think, this...
I want to see what that's going to sound like later.
It sounds like someone hitting the microphone with their face. Awesome. You know I can hear all of those. I have the headphones
on.
Was
that obnoxiously loud?
Not really. I mean, I'm going to compress everything and match loudness and all that.
Can you make just that one, like, really loud?
No.
Please?
No.
Fuck with me on this.
I'm not fucking with you on this.
But yeah, no, I thought the third track was really awesome.
Yeah.
I
think this one should have been a single.
I agree, actually. That one I felt the catchiest, and I think probably would have performed better.
Yeah. At the single, if I recall correctly, the singles for this one were I Don't Care, America's Sweethearts. keep fucking banging your head on the...
I'm like Gigi Allen, minus the like raping animals and shitting on stage.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
And the other single was What a Catch, Donnie. There might have been a fourth one.
Yeah.
But those are the three that I remember off the top of my head. But I really think this one should have been a single.
Yeah. I don't really have much else to say about it. I have a bit more to say about the fourth track.
Let's move to that one then. The fourth track being... I don't have the track list pulled up because I'm fucking stupid. America's Sweethearts, which was another single.
The intro gave me like musical blue balls.
Yeah.
Because it started to do that kind of black metal-y, like trem picky thing that like Def Heaven does. And I went, this could be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was not.
Did you think that they were going to launch into a black gaze song?
No, not at all. But I thought that it would like continue and they'd be a little bit heavier.
Hmm.
And like a bit more, I thought they'd lean into the fact that I know that their drummer has influences from played in a hardcore band. And I also think one of the other dudes did it. Maybe I think they're one of the other dudes in that band also played bass in a hardcore band.
Maybe. I know Pete.
Yeah.
I know Pete probably has some of that.
Yeah, Pete did. And I thought that maybe they'd lean more into that on this and have like that like kind of standout heavy track.
Mm-hmm.
Did not happen, obviously.
Well.
Yeah, no big surprise. The pop punk band didn't play hardcore, but if you take into account my childlike whimsy, it could have happened.
So true, so true.
I did like that. Like it did have some like easycore influence. A lot of like I think it was chugging,
mm-hmm.
that kind of like heavier like pattern, but it still felt a little too poppy. Like I normally would say this is a compliment, but it reminded me of that part of Stars by Hum. Like bum ba 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 down ba 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 down out where like should where if it were in a minor key it would have been like heavy. It felt very poppy still. It wasn't awful, but it like gave me like musical blue balls. It I also wrote down peanut allergy music.
Now do you think you could expand on what that means?
Ever see someone and you go, you definitely have peanut allergy?
Yeah, sometimes.
With Patrick Stump looks like he's got a peanut allergy.
No, he's got a peanut allergy.
Who?
Whitney Jordan.
Sorry, Whitney.
I know, it's fucked up, isn't it?
Whitney, you don't look like you have a peanut allergy. But Patrick Stump, on the other hand,
looks like he has a peanut allergy.
God, if you truly do exist, you'll get Patrick Stump Whitney's peanut allergy.
He might. I mean, I don't know if that's public knowledge or not.
If I had a peanut allergy, it wouldn't be public knowledge.
So you could have a peanut allergy and you're just not revealing it.
No, because if I had one, after listening to that one, I probably would have eaten a handful of peanuts just to see what happened.
Oh, okay.
I would have liked it more.
And then you wouldn't have heard the next song.
Yeah.
Which is Head First Slide into Cooperstown on a Bad Bet.
Which sounds like good car commercial music.
This car commercial. Do you watch TV? When was the last time you've seen a car commercial?
I think the last time I watched TV, I watched part one of season three of Beastars.
Oh, so no commercials.
No commercials, but I don't really watch TV like that, but like it reminds me of when like every car commercial like ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
The Arctic Monkeys song.
Yeah, that one. And yeah. Like if you buy this pickup truck, your cock will get three times bigger.
If you buy this damn pickup truck from Ford Damn Motor Company, your cock will get 400 million times smaller.
Your wife will stop cheating on you. Your kids will say, I love you.
Buy this Dodge Ram truck, and then I will respect you.
Yeah, like it all feels like that, but like instead of way more limp-wristed.
Yeah.
Like, it's like if, like, Subaru did that kind of commercial. Or, like, if it was, like, a commercial like that for, like, a Volkswagen Beetle.
Like, Acura did that.
A little bit, yeah. I liked the trumpet. It was still too theatrical for me, but yeah. there's a really good riff.
Oh, yeah.
There's a really good riff. I like the ending a lot, and I also wrote very locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And then also drew a picture of a cock, and I'm not sure. It was the only time I felt driven during the entire record to draw a picture of a cock.
Do you think that means that that's the gayest you felt while listening to this record? It just conjured a picture of a cock, and you felt like you needed to draw it because you felt so gay?
I think it's probably because I don't...
For our audio listeners, Jack Morris just leaned in for a kiss.
For audio listeners, Dawson Beck did not reciprocate.
You're too far away, man. What? Okay. That's good radio right there.
Yeah.
And then on to the next track, which is The Shipped Gold Standard. I remember you liking this one a lot.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
Enough to where I forgot to write about it. I was so locked in and, like, having a great time listening to it. I said, this one is really good, honestly. Yeah. I liked the part where, like, the drums switched up and it felt kind of incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a really musically interesting, and I wish Fall Out Boy would explore stuff like that more often.
Yeah.
Obviously, being kind of pop punk, it's hard to find an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
But
for our audio listeners that are hearing that, they're wrapping up the mic cable in their hand again.
But I did like it.
Yeah. Great song. Great song.
Phenomenal song. I really enjoyed that one. I will probably end up listening to it again on my drive home.
Hell yeah.
Because I actually really like that one.
Yeah. I think this song really kind of shows you how... how willing they are to like be normal musicians, mm-hmm. on this rather than like pop punk band. Cause like all of the members of this band are insanely talented.
Oh yeah. No, like even if like, cause I think my big feeling coming out of this, which I'll expand on, you know, once I'm done going through the track list, was that they are phenomenal musicians. Yeah. They are just phenomenal musicians that write music for everyone that's into that kind of music.
And yeah. And this is the record where you can really tell, like, there are some records, like, fucking, if you listen to Save Rock and Roll, you will not get that impression at all. And if you listen to Mania, you'll think that they're maybe the worst musicians on the planet.
I listened to one song off of Mania, because I was like, oh, Fall Out Boy's popular, I wonder why. I listened to it and went, I wonder why.
Yeah, I remember that album dropping, and, like, being fucking bewildered, because that was the first Fall Out Boy record I heard in full.
Mania?
Yeah, because I got in late. Like I okay. only heard the first time I listened to Fall Out Boy was in like 2020, and mm-hmm. my friend showed me this record, and I was like, oh shit, they're a good band.
I was gonna say, I did not expect them to be this good.
I'm saying,
like, I kind of was just like, Dawson, you have pop. My thought was, Dawson, you have pop brain. I don't think this is going to be good.
Yeah.
That being said,
I do have pop brain.
You do have pop brain. You do have pop brain. And that's fine, because that's how the brain's supposed to work.
Yeah.
But speaking of things being good, I do think this record, on the seventh song, I decide the record gets better the further in you get.
Mm-hmm.
And, I feel like the lyrics are, like, very kind of, like, it expands on that typical, like, emo, like, you broke my heart type stuff, but, in, like, actually expands on it and with, like, interesting comparisons and metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, kind of building upon those lyrical themes in a meaningful way.
Yeah. That's the other thing with this record is that...
lyrically, it is so fucking good.
It's so dense, and, like, that was another part of them just doing whatever they wanted. Because Pete writes the majority of the lyrics, and at this point he was writing basically all of them.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He just...
Is he the vocalist?
No, that's Patrick.
Okay, cool.
He does
Patrick
the
Stump looks like he has a peanut allergy.
Pete does the screams that pop up like every once in a blue moon on Fall Out Boy
screams.
Song.
He has a great scream.
Yeah.
I think that he should be the only vocalist and I should be screaming more. I wish this was an Emo Violence record because I want to get that thing tattooed on me, but I don't like Fall Out. It did not convert me into being a Fall Out Boy fan. It converted me into going, these guys can write a song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what I needed.
Yeah. They really let Pete, they let him loose as far as lyrics go.
Yeah.
You can really tell. Like, especially if you just like read all the lyrics, you're like, damn. That
no, I know. I think when we turned on the lyrics, it made me enjoy the album more.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because normally I am not someone that gives a fuck about lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of really enjoying this record.
Yeah.
The eighth song was one of the worst songs I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, right, my God.
Right before What a Catch started, I was like, Jack, I think this is going to be your least favorite on the whole record. And I was right.
I have three things written about this.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to draw on negativity. Need three things I have written.
We have dwelled on negativity on this podcast a lot. I don't know if you know, like, because since the format of this is just like going through each song per episode, we've gotten some fucking stinkers.
Part of my bit with this is that I was gonna refuse. I've refused to listen to any episodes.
Yeah.
Because if I wanted to listen to you and Carson talk,
yeah,
I could ask you guys to come hang out, and I listen to you talk enough.
Yeah.
We play video games together.
Yeah, that's very
true. We hang out. We're friends.
Yeah. You don't need to hear me talking all the time.
Yeah, no. The minor monologue would sound like you. But my three thoughts on this were, this is gay.
Uh-huh.
Derogatory.
We're both queer. Just putting that out there.
I'm normal. And then if a local band played this, I would smoke outside for the rest of their set because this pissed me off so bad, which I have done before when a song has been so terrible or someone's like introduction to a song was so awful and pissed me off so much. So I was just like, I'm done with your set. You lost your chance.
Do you want to say who? I can bleep it.
If you bleep it, yes.
Yeah. Let me get at my phone so I can write down the timestamp so I can bleep it. Okay. 41 minutes in.
So,
Oh, really?
I was hanging out with them before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, you guys should keep your stage talking to a minimum. I hate when bands are like, this song's about my ex.
Yeah.
And, set goes great. They sound phenomenal. Phenomenal band.
Mm-hmm.
The vocal is like, yeah, you're right. We should talk less because they're a shoegaze band, and I don't think shoegaze bands should be talking.
No, not at all.
Shoegaze and screamo. I don't want to hear shit. I want you to just play your damn song.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, word for word, the song's about my high school ex. I got so mad. I just heel turned, walked out with the flat iron.
Holy shit!
I was so mad. I had to go to flat iron.
Well, at what point was this during their set? Like, was this off the top?
This is like right in the middle.
Oh, man.
This is, you get so mad you have to go to Flatiron.
Listen, going to Flatiron in general, like...
Low point.
Low point. Yeah. like, there's a certain age where you should not be going to Flatiron, and that age is like early to mid-20s. Like...
Any age,
but like, you know, you go to Flatiron and you expect to see like
30-year-olds.
You expect to see 30-year-olds at Flatiron.
30-year-olds are people that... No, dude, I'm not addicted to coke. I just only do it every day. I only do it without drinking, and like I only drink like 6 days a week.
Yeah, 30-year-olds, coke addicts in denial, and people who don't know any better are the only people who should be at Flatiron.
And coke addicts who aren't in denial.
Yeah. I think I've been to Flatiron, like, I could probably count on one hand the amount of times I've been to Flatiron.
Yeah. So, but my last thought on it was, these lyrics make my balls hurt.
What do you mean?
These lyrics make my balls hurt.
Understandable. Okay.
I thought they were terrible.
A fun thing about this song is that this was supposed to be the final track.
I'm so glad it wasn't.
Yeah.
I would have gotten mad.
I am too, but... for different reasons. I think the track that they went with as a closer is a Where Are You Going? Oh, okay, Jack Morris is on the floor stretching for our audio listeners.
Sorry, my legs hurt. I walked for 7 hours.
No, you're good. You're good. You're still in frame, so it's fine.
And I'm close to your feet.
Don't get any ideas while you're down there.
Those little piggies into the market.
But this track was supposed to be the closer, and they went against it because they Jack Morris is completely left of frame now. They went against it because they thought it would be too sad, like too final of a closer. Because there's a part in the bridge of this song where they like reinterpolate different lyrics from past songs of theirs. So they thought that if this was the last song, people would think that the band was over forever, which it was a possibility at that point, but they didn't want to like put it out there. They wanted it to be like a temporary hiatus.
Yeah.
Or at least have that be the general knowledge that people had. You are going insane right now. You're going crazy right now.
I'm God's most attention deficit soldier.
So next track.
27.
Which,
not fucking Title Fight.
Not a Title Fight cover.
Thought it was.
Thought it was, but it wasn't. We turned down.
Was blueballed by it.
Your sensitivity a little bit.
That being said, it was one of my favorite tracks on the record.
I thought that there was a chance that you would have disliked this song on the principle of it not being a Title Fight cover.
That's very fair, but also I think less white people should be covering Title Fight.
So true.
Just less people, but especially like white guys.
Yeah.
If you're a white guy that looks like me, do not cover Title Fight.
Don't even think about it. You don't need to be doing that.
Instead, think about covering Orchid or Man is the Bastard.
So true.
Or This Is How It Ended in Tokyo.
But you really liked this song.
I did. I really, really liked this song.
Nice burp. You should have done that into the mic. There. Okay, you can stop now. It sounded worse than I expected it to.
I liked it. It was very dancey, very dance punk. Mm-hmm. And that's always something I appreciate. I love dance punk. Shout out to the band Vacant. From Atlanta.
So true.
They're phenomenal. Just had to shout out my dance punk goats.
Shout out Vessel. They also get a little dance punky with it. They just played their last show on the day that we played our show, and I was really disappointed because
9/11 for dance punk fans in Atlanta.
Honestly. I wish they would keep going.
Me too.
Hey, Vessel, if you're watching this, keep going. I like your music.
I didn't get to see you guys.
I didn't either. I only found out about you, and then like two shows later, you played your final show. What the fuck?
Also, the ambient shimmer thing they did was mm-hmm. really cool. I liked that a lot. I liked enough to write about it.
Yeah. And if you're sitting there going like, what fucking ambient shimmer? You got to upgrade your headphones, buddy, or your speakers something.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really sick. I thought it was a very cool part.
Yeah.
And it did sound like pirate music.
Pirate music?
Yeah, I don't know what I mean by that. But
so,
that
okay, the funny thing about saying that a Fall Out Boy song sounds like pirate music, there is one song in their discography that if you listen to it, you'll go like, oh, that is the pirate song. It's called Bang the Doldrums. It's off Infinity on High, and it is... I don't like that song.
Do they hit the yo-ho?
Yes. Genuinely, they do. You have no idea how piratey that song gets.
Tragic.
Yeah. So I think it's funny that you called this song pirate core or whatever.
Pirate
because
music.
Because they have genuinely just a pirate song.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I like the solo in it a lot, and I think lyrically it was my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Up to this point, I would still probably say that.
Yeah.
Speaking of favorite lyrics.
Yeah. Next song.
Next song.
Tiffany Blues.
The intro was awful. Oh, holy yeah. Shit. I hated the intro. I think I told you that too.
I saw your face like screw up as like that intro started. And I was like, I was like, it's just the intro.
Like, you had to like calm me down. I started chewing on shit.
You started like eating my mattress. It was like kind of fucked up.
Yeah. There is a little hole in it.
Yeah. It's off camera, so you can't see it.
Perfect to hide like some dry spaghetti in.
Yeah. I'm not going to do that. Because I hate you.
That's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, Tiffany Blues.
Oh, sorry.
I was just reiterating which song we were talking about.
Which one?
Tiffany Blues.
Okay. That falsetto was sexual.
Oh, yeah.
That like, I had my moment of like, is this why everyone thought he was so fuckable?
Well, the funny, like Pete Wentz was the fuckable one.
He was.
And he's not doing that falsetto.
But like, people still wanted to fuck Peanut Allergy Boy.
They definitely did, but like, I don't think like...
I don't think it was because he was hot. I think it was because he was in Fall Out Boy.
Well, yeah, but also, you gotta understand, around this time, and like, especially around the time that Infinity on High came out, Pete Wentz was like an A-list celebrity. Like, not just Fall Out Boy, Pete Wentz was fucking big. Because, like, people just found him so hot. And, like, he was dating celebrities.
Like Ariana Grande?
He dated a Kardashian at one point.
What?
Yeah.
Why do Kardashians love little emo boys?
I don't know. There's a more notable one that I'm fucking forgetting right now.
MGK.
No.
MGK dated a Kardashian.
Well, I'm talking about someone that Pete dated.
Oh, okay.
There's a more notable person that Pete dated.
Demi Lovato?
And married. Like, Pete married what was her
name?
Are
they still married?
No.
Such as Hollywood.
That's Hollywood, baby. Let me fucking... I need to find out who... Like, I need to find the name. Pete Wentz's wife. Ashley Simpson.
Who is that?
He married Ashley Simpson. She was a really big celebrity around that time as well. And she... my goodness, that was a disgusting fucking burp. What are you doing? That's crazy. Ashley Simpson, she was a really popular singer around the time. You were just going crazy out here. It's awesome. Video watchers are having the time of their life right now.
Great day for video watchers.
Yeah, if you're not watching the video on YouTube, go to our YouTube and watch it, because Jack Morris is doing a lot of funny, wacky things. But yeah, Pete Wentz was...
This kind of just how I exist, though.
Huh?
This kind of just how I exist.
Yeah.
I'm also trying to see how out of frame I can get.
You've gotten pretty out of frame. Oh, there you go. There you go. You just left the frame entirely on your head.
Beautifully even.
Beautifully so. But yeah, P. Wentz was a fucking A-lister at this point.
He was the most fuckable person in Hollywood, to my understanding.
I wouldn't say most fuckable, but he was up there.
Like top eight.
Probably top eight, yeah. You're finding really creative ways to go about this. Should we tell them what you're doing?
In the Patreon only episode.
Okay.
Subscribe to the Patreon.
Subscribe to the Patreon to find out what the fuck Jack Morris is doing. And if you figure it out, don't fucking tell anyone.
Yeah, instead, message me on Instagram. And I'll confirm. And maybe send you a picture of my balls if you ask politely.
Oh.
I'll be hanging brain on Instagram.
There we go. Hanging brain on Instagram.
That's a good phrase, right?
Yeah. I like it. Should we talk about this next track?
Speaking of hanging brain.
Whams.
That Lil Wayne.
Oh, this
that Lil Wayne feature was phenomenal. That was so sick.
Oh, yeah. Lil Wayne on this. I didn't know it was Lil Wayne for years.
I didn't either until you told me.
So true.
You know, okay, we were talking about this when we were listening, because I got Lil Wayne and Lil Jon mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lil Jon's screaming was inspired by Minor Threat. That's why he screams.
That's a question to you, the audience.
The audience.
So respond now.
Respond now. Type in the YouTube comments. I love Lil Wayne and Minor Threat.
And if you're driving, say it like out loud right now.
Yeah, so or, like, or your cars or brakes are just going to activate on the highway and you're going to careen and kill a family of four.
That's true. Repeat
or
the question.
Could, or you could subscribe to the Patreon and your car won't do that.
So true.
Could Sorry you, if you have OCD.
Could you repeat the question so that they can respond in Dora the Explorer style?
Yeah. Can you say, I love Lil Jon and Minor Threat?
Very good.
Great job.
Great job, everyone.
Speaking of Minor Threat, on the 11th track,
Whams.
You can really see the hardcore influence shine through, actually.
Yeah. You want to know something funny about this track? This is the only track on this album produced by Pharrell.
The Minions guy?
Yeah.
And nothing else?
And nothing else.
And the Lego movie.
And the Lego movie.
Yeah. I did not know that. Yeah. That's really cool.
Pharrell produced this track. The rest of the album was produced by their longtime collaborator, Neil Avron, who I think did a great job.
Gay name.
So true. But Pharrell produced this song and fucking killed it, I gotta say.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it sounds great. I really enjoyed that song. That was one of my other favorites.
Yeah.
The bass line was so sick. If you see me looking down, it's because I am reading my notes.
So true. You don't have to explain a goddamn thing to them, Jack.
I don't owe you shit, but I will give it to you anyways because I'm nice.
So true.
I've also, you know, today is day 69 of me wearing the same jeans every day in a row.
What was the record last time?
The other pair I hit 137 days without washing.
That's insane.
They got a layer of grease. I washed them. That layer of grease did not go away. I'm trying to hit 6 months in these, though.
Holy.
My balls are going to smell crazy every day.
This is, for those who don't know, Jack is wearing raw denim.
I'll show the Selvage ID.
Yeah, Selvage raw denim. Selvage ID right there.
Blue Line Selvage, Naked and Famous, Strong Guy, 13.75 ounces. Strong Guy cut.
So for the one listener of ours who is into raw denim, which I assume you're out there, you're pogging right now because Jack's pants are so
cool. Ben Davis hoodie and a Factor's white t-shirt in case anyone here is fashion pilled.
Fit check. There we go. Jack Morris with the fits as usual.
Call my closet bipolar the way it's throwing fits.
That's awesome. We're on Whams. That's so true. Produced by Pharrell. What are your notes on this one?
I like the hardcore influence that shine through. The bass line was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It was definitely a high point. The ending did make me mad.
Yeah.
Because it did it shimmer out and why did it make me mad?
It faded out right as like the drummer's doing like a double kick thing.
Yeah. No, it got really heavy for no reason. And then immediately just went, sorry, if you're into cool shit, you can go fuck yourself.
I do wish, like, I do wonder where they were going with that. Or like
clearly
if they
nowhere.
Went anywhere. Yeah. I would like if they did, for sure. But yeah, they're doing it again. Whams, great track. I believe it stands for waitress, actress, model, singer, I think is what it stands for. Kind of like playing off the the amount of jobs you have to like try and make it in Hollywood and stuff like that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Great fucking song.
Song 12.
Speaking of great songs, in my opinion, at least $20 Nosebleed. And
I hate Brendan Urie. I hate him so much. Brendan Urie, fly me out to Vegas. Let's talk. We can talk behind like a McDonald's. I will not. Neither of us need to bring any weapons. Mm-hmm. None of us need to bring any friends. I want to break your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan Urie, don't take this seriously. I don't want to get arrested for threats. I just don't like your ass. I hate you. Everything about you. You disgust me. I don't like you. You ruined your own band with your greed. I hope you die.
You want to know something funny?
What?
After Carson and I get through all of the songs on Fall Out Boy,
Panic at the Disco.
We're doing Panic at the Disco.
That's tragic. Most of their discography sucks.
Yeah, but...
Those
first two records are fucking amazing.
Golden. Great records. Bring back Ryan Ross. Brendan Urie, you should not be the only one in that band. I hope you sound with the Lego Man.
It's worth noting that this was the same year that Pretty Odd came out. So at this time, Brendan had not crossed the threshold yet.
No, he was still normal.
He was still pretty normal. And he hadn't started like super over singing yet either.
So, I also hate George Bush.
That's true. This song also hates George Bush.
Yeah, I fuck with that. But
the lyrics specifically about that, I think are really good. Fucking God. I thought I would just have it off the dome like I normally do. Fuck. Is he stupid? Is he stupid?
Probably.
Chat, is he stupid?
Well, you look for those lyrics. I am going to make one more mean comment about Fall Out Boy.
Go for it.
This felt like YouTuber music.
I heard you say that, and I didn't inquire further, but like, do you mean like this is a song you would hear a YouTuber use as like outro music, or a YouTuber would make this?
Yeah.
Both?
Probably.
That's awesome.
But also, there's like a vaguely right-wing YouTuber who I'm not going to say the name of him that uses like a day to remember as his outro music.
Oh, well.
I watch his videos to fall asleep because what happens is I get mad,
mm-hmm.
so I can't pay that much attention to it. And then by the time it pisses me off too much, I immediately turn my phone off and knock out.
Awesome.
I do this every night. I'm not even kidding. Some really interesting lore about me.
Yeah. I found those lyrics in verse 2. It feels like 14 carats, but no clarity. When I look at the man... That was so loud. When I look at the man who would be king, the man who would be king goes to the desert, the same war his dad rehearsed, came back with flags on coffins and said, "We won, oh, we won." So true.
I hate you, George Bush.
I fuck you, George Bush. You fucking suck, asshole. I think it's kind of funny that like the
Jimmy Carter should have won the election that year.
Dude, don't even get me started.
You know Jimmy Carter killed himself recently?
With a Desert Eagle.
Yeah, it's tragic.
It's tragic, man. He somehow pulled the trigger twice.
To the back of his head.
Yeah. It's crazy how that happened. It looks like a watermelon got smashed on the ground.
I also really like the ending of that song, though.
Oh, yeah.
It felt a little scramsy.
Yeah. I was thinking you would either really fuck with that part or think it was so cringe.
I like it, but also like I liked the kind of industrial feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
It did feel like the cringe industrial that I don't like, mm-hmm. but any sort of interesting influence on stuff like that is exciting to me.
Yeah.
It
feels very melodramatic, but I think appropriately so.
It felt appropriate, and I like when bands get a little corny with it sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a necessary thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of necessary, all albums have to end.
That's true. All albums have to end eventually.
Ideally.
Yeah, I hope so.
That being said, the runtime of this album was terrible.
Terrible?
I think albums should be 25 minutes long.
Okay, well, you did you did ask once we were at the halfway point, like how far are we into it? And you seemed kind of surprised that we were halfway through.
It didn't. Well, I think it's a long album. That's it.
Yeah.
13 tracks is a lot for bands that write 4-minute songs.
Yeah. I mean, well, this was the norm back then.
Yeah. The norm should be a minute and a half of, you know?
Yeah.
Shout out Sex Prisoner. Phenomenal power violence band.
Shout out Power Violence. Shout out Screams.
Everyone here, if you like Fall Out Boy, you should listen to Spaz. They sound nothing alike, but Spaz is awesome.
Yeah.
You're a really good stage bit that I think we're gonna do at our next show.
What is it?
Or our next big room show.
Yeah.
Which might be in hell.
Ooh.
But whichever band we're playing with in that room, I'm gonna go, hey, do you guys like a similar band to that band that you know, is kind of big?
Mm-hmm.
And like, we did this at one show. I went, do you guys like the Strokes? And everyone started cheering, and I went, we sound nothing like them. And played our harshest song we had.
That's awesome.
But I like how it kind of, I like how it kind of middle end, like three-fourths of the way through, it kind of explodes.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool. The end was really good. I liked the screams. That was a highlight for me.
Yeah.
I had a star next to it, but I think, looking back on it, if it's not my top three, it's probably my fourth of my four favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have a lot to say about it. It felt like an album closer.
Yeah.
Which was a good thing.
You know, they've played this song one time.
Tragic.
I know. And that time, the first time that happened was this year.
Really?
Yeah. I wasn't joking when I said that this album's reception was like really bad. Which is so confusing to me, especially now because like, the retroactive praise of this album has been unbelievable. Like, this is widely looked upon as like their best album by normal people.
Out of all of the singles I've heard, I did enjoy like a lot of the tracks off of this more than I've liked any other Fall Out Boy songs, other than Mania, the greatest album ever.
Oh, of course, yeah, the greatest album of all time, some would say.
I did. My overall thoughts is that I thought this is a great album. It never felt too self-indulgent.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, 50 minutes of pop punk.
Listen, it could be so much worse. It could be so much worse. Imagine listening to a 50-minute Blink-182 record.
I do like Blink-182.
No shade to them. But imagine 50 minutes of
phenomenal. That's a great pop punk record.
Imagine listening to 50 minutes of their brand of pop punk.
Dude Ranch. I would listen to 50 minutes of Dude Ranch.
Okay, maybe a bad example.
Blink, or like Sum 41, great pop punk.
Yeah.
I like when they rap. Mom should have had an abortion. Can you put some like reverb on that in post?
No.
That doesn't work. The joke doesn't work.
I'm not going to remember to do that.
Should have had an abortion, push.
See, you can just do that the analog.
Yeah, I also like Good Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd like kind of trashy pop punk, and this feels really highbrow.
You should talk to Dom Maduri more often.
I will.
He loves pop punk, especially Blink-182. He traveled to Europe to go see them one time.
That's a lot for Blink-182.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah, I'm saying. But that was so loud.
Sorry, I was trying to get to the red bar on the laptop.
Why do you think wrapping your mouth around that mic would do that? It's plugged into my computer over here.
I don't know. I like seeing how big the audio bar got, though.
Oh, my God. That is... Jesus Christ. Sorry, all listeners. Well, yeah, that's Folly Ado.
Yeah, I honestly actually feel really happy listening to that. That was a great record.
Hell yeah.
Like, genuinely phenomenal. I probably will not revisit it, but, like, it's a good record, and I now have less reason to hate that band.
Exactly. I mean, if you listen to three of the four post-hiatus records, you'll hate them all over again. But, you know, that's just kind of how it is being a Fall Out Boy fan. I heard that.
Through the microphone?
Yeah.
Awesome. Can you keep that in?
I guess.
My jaw pops.
We'll see if the noise suppression takes that out or not.
I think it does.
Well, the noise suppression isn't on right now.
Oh, okay.
I apply that later.
But, okay. Well, sorry. I'm having a lot of fun playing with microphones.
What do you say we well, at the end of every episode we rate the song we're talking about, and then I roll out the red carpet, and then Carson spins a wheel, but he's not here right now, so we can't spin that wheel, and we didn't do a normal episode. But what would you give this album out of 10?
Like a 6.
Six?
A 6. It was, like, better than average. Like, if 5 truly is average, and we look at that way, and not on, like, a high school grading scale,
mm-hmm.
6 was 6. It was, like, solid. I wouldn't revisit most of it, but I can appreciate all of it.
Yeah.
Minus like track 8. Which one was the one I have in my notes.
That was track 8, I think.
Yeah, track 8. Terrible track. Oh my fucking god.
I think if you do end up revisiting this record, you'll like it more, cuz when you mentioned around track 7 how you were like, this record gets better as it goes on. This record is the kind of record that gets better every listen, in my opinion. So I think if you do revisit it, you'll probably like it more. I think you'll find greater appreciation for different parts of it.
That's fair.
This is a 10 out of 10 for me.
I think with your taste, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm excited for the Patreon episode we're about to do.
So true. Where Jack is going to show me
Gatefold by Orchid.
Gatefold by Orchid. And we're going to talk about that because I've never listened to any Orchid before.
Subcultural exchange.
So true. but thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for
still listening. If you're not, fuck you and die. Follow Jack and I's bands.
Yeah. @hospitality/ on Instagram.
And those are slashes spelled out.
Oh, yeah. Spelled out.
Yeah. And follow my band at Bummer Hill on Instagram, at Bummer Hill ATL on Twitter. Subscribe to the Patreon. $5 a month gets you an extra episode every week that there's an episode, because
we're also Hospitality KSAW on Twitter.
That's true. Listen to Hospitality, Kennesaw Scrams. Good shit. Follow the podcast.
We're like Chief Keef, but for white kids from the suburbs.
Chief Keef is Chief Keef for white kids from the suburbs.
I know.
Subscribe and follow the podcast. $5 a month gets you an extra episode every week that we have an episode.
And a drawing for $1 million.
No, it doesn't. I'm legally not allowed to say that.
You are.
No, I'm not. Follow our Twitter at The Dreaded Wheel on Twitter. And this is normally where we would spin the wheel and decide what we're doing next. But since this is an oddball episode, since Carson isn't here, everyone pray that he recovers from his tragic gay sex accident. We will see you next time.
Hey, Jarvis,
with Carson.
End the episode for me.